Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee again at this time, we pray that You can help guide us in our thoughts through the final minutes of this meeting here, that You can help us to increase our faith and willingness to serve You and to be Your servants, to be Your temple, to keep ourselves holy and unspotted from the world, or to repent and ask for forgiveness when necessary for that. We pray, dear Father, that You can guide us as we go through our life to be able to continue studying and get stronger as we go. Please be with those that are having difficulties, like Brother Christie, help him with his family and the meetings they go through. We pray that You'll be with those that are traveling, like the Burnetts, and help their family, the extended family. We pray, dear Father, that You can continue watching over us as we try to help others, that we can help correctly, that others will know that we are loved, and because they're following You. Also, we pray all these things through Your Son. Amen.
If you have not obeyed the gospel, it may be that you think you actually have a good reason why you haven't done so yet. I remember growing up that, you know, I was about 16 when I obeyed the gospel. And leading up to that point, I had some reasons why I didn't. And I thought they were good reasons in my mind, that they were valid reasons, understandable reasons. For you, it may be, you may just think you're too young. And that's understandable. You know, you might be too young, but you know, honestly, if you're even saying that might be one of your excuses, it may be that actually you're not too young, and you're starting to realize that this actually is a decision that I'm capable of making, even though I'm young of age. You may be scared, and that's understandable too, because it's a big decision, and a lot of things have to change in your life. You also might be happy with the way things are. You kind of like your life right now. You really don't want to make a change, because you think that happiness that you're currently having will go away, and you won't have that anymore. You may think, well, I've just got too much going on to make that kind of decision. My life is too busy. I'll just have to put that off. It's not important to me. Some may think, well, I'm just too far in sin that I'm just so swallowed up with it, and I can't get out of it. There's no reason for me to become a Christian. There's many other excuses or things that you might have in your mind on why you have not become a Christian yet. Basically, what you're saying is, well, I'll do it later, not now, let me wait a while. But much too often, death comes unexpectedly, and it's obviously too late to even think about our salvation. Say, for instance, with this, you know, we were talking about tonight with the physical and the spiritual. Let me give you a physical application of this. Would you delay in taking appropriate action if you knew that there was a bomb in your house and it was about to go off? Would you say, well, I'll put that off. I'm not ready to handle that or deal with that right now. And of course you wouldn't. You would take immediate action to save yourself and to save your family. It goes without saying. If you had a terminal disease, and if left untreated, you would die. Would you do anything with that? Well, you would seek treatment. You would go to a doctor. So you see, we put emphasis on the physical body, but yet the spiritual we tend to lay aside and think that's not as important as our physical body. We don't see the sense of urgency with our soul. So why then have this concern for the body but not for the soul? The soul is far more important than our physical body. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So if you know what to do, you don't delay. your soul is at stake, and that's the most important aspect of your life. One excuse that I'd like to focus on tonight in extending the invitation is some people, especially young people, might think, you know what, I can't become a Christian because I just don't know enough. I don't have a lot of Bible knowledge. And to an extent, that is a good reason. You need to have knowledge because that establishes faith and that establishes action on how to respond to the gospel. But don't think you need to know everything about the Bible in order to become a Christian. That's not the case. Being a Christian involves a growth process. When you become a Christian, you are a babe in Christ, and the reason you're called a babe in Christ is because you don't know a lot. You're taking in things that are easy to digest, the pure milk of the Word, and then later on you continue in your growth, in your faith, and you're able to take on the harder things that are hard to digest, the meat of the Word. It's a growth process for us. A lot of the teaching takes place after we become disciples, after we become Christians. A lot of our learning does. You know, when you look at the conversions that are in the book of Acts, you'll see that many times most conversions resulted after just one lesson. Now, those people that were converted and responded, yeah, they did have knowledge. But it wasn't a week to week, a month to month constant study of God's Word. And then finally, these people became Christians. A lot of people became Christians after Paul or Peter explained something to them, or the rest of the disciples did, and they acted upon it. How many lessons and sermons have you heard? I would dare say you've heard a lot more than some of those that were converted in the book of Acts. You know what it takes. You have a lot of knowledge than you might think that you do. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 35, we're familiar with the Ethiopian eunuch. We see his response with what he said in verse 35 when, as Philip is preaching to him, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, "Preach Jesus to him." Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." It didn't take long for him to understand this is something I have to do, and I can't put it off any longer. Did the eunuch understand everything about the Bible, everything about the Lord's church, how elders and deacons work, the work of the apostles, every single thing that Jesus taught in his parables? No, probably not. But what did he understand? He understood what Philip said to him. He started verse 35 to preach Jesus to him. And that was basically, this is the gospel. This is the good news that I'm presenting to you. And as he's preaching him these things, they come across a body of water and say, "What hinders me from doing this?" And he tells them what he needs to do. So what do you need to know? If you don't have to have extensive knowledge per se, what do you need to know in order to become a Christian? If you understand and are convicted in your heart by the gospel message, you can be baptized and be saved even at this hour. You have to understand that you are lost in your sins. Some people may think, "I don't have any sins." You do have sins. We make mistakes. We miss the mark on a daily basis with God. And especially the fact that we don't have Christ in our life is sin, and it's a sinful life. So if you're lost in your sins, what needs to be done to remedy that? Well, Christ has already done that work. He's offered himself on the cross for our sins so that we can receive the benefits of that death and of that burial and of that resurrection. But it does not just stop there. There has to be action on your part. And just with the Ethiopian eunuch, it started with faith. As he was preached Jesus by Philip, he was establishing faith within this man. And for him to understand exactly what he had to do as far as baptism, he was doing that by faith. It has to be established with that faith. Acts 8, verse 37, where he said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may become a Christian." It starts with that, believing that Jesus is the Christ and he is the Son of God. In Acts 10 and in verse 43, it says to him, speaking of Jesus, To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. In Acts 16, in verses 30 and 31, we see the Philippian jailer. And he came in and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he was told to believe. But it's not just obviously faith or belief alone in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has called us to a new life, to change the way that we act in our life. And therefore we have to repent of our past life, of our sins, saying that we won't do that anymore. We want to change who we are. We don't want to live in sin any longer. And that's why in Acts 2, verse 38, that Peter said, you have to repent. When they asked what they needed to do, he said, you need to repent. You change your attitude, you change your action, and you can become a Christian. In Acts 3 and verse 19, we're told also by Peter to repent and be converted so that our sins might be blotted out. Acts 17, 30 and 31, where Jesus winked at the ignorance of the past, of the Jews before, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, to change your life, to be willing to have that inward transformation within yourself. But it doesn't stop there, obviously. We have to verbalize that faith that we have in him. And by doing so, we're also showing to others that we are willing to change our life and to submit to a higher power in the Savior of Jesus Christ. Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe your heart in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we see what was done in Acts chapter 8. Well, what did he say? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed that good confession. They made that good confession by faith. And then what did he do? He was baptized. Acts 2 verse 38. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Baptism now saves us. And when we become Christians, the expectation of us is Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be faithful unto death and you'll receive a crown of life. Now let me ask you, is that difficult? Do you have to have a lot of knowledge? Do you have to know this from front to back to be able to get that message? That's why it's called good news. And that's why you can now start your journey in your growth process. If you're concerned you just don't know enough, well, you can know enough. But it starts with being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can know enough of that to receive salvation and begin your Christian walk. And you may have other reasons. This may not be your reason. You may not think about that, I just don't have enough knowledge. But let me say, there's really no justifiable reason to not become a Christian. Especially if you've heard the gospel message and yet you deny it and you turn your back on it. It makes it even worse. You cannot put off your obedience to the gospel any longer. There's no good reason to do that. So if you know what you need to do, why put it off any longer? So I'm going to ask you the question right now that Ananias asked Saul. And insert your name in this. And now, why are you, your name, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's what you need to do. It's a good message that God has given us through Jesus Christ that we can be saved from our sins and we can continue to grow in our Bible knowledge. And you'll never regret that decision that you make tonight. And I hope that you're encouraged to do that even this night as we stand and sing for your encouragement.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's fire in the blood. Power in the prayer.
Let us pray. Dear our wonderful Heavenly Father, we know how great you are and all the blessings that you give us on a day-to-day basis. We thank you for the country that you've given to us and that we can come together without persecution. And thank you for the brethren here, that we can all come together in like-mindedness and to study your word and to learn from it and grow in it. And we thank you for the promise of eternal life that you've given us through that word. We ask that you help us to continue to trust in you and follow in the footsteps of Jesus as we go through our lives, trying to live according to that. We ask that you help us to go out into the world and spread it with our actions and with our words to those who do not know you. We ask that you help those who are traveling around and also those who are sick, specifically the Burnetts and Elijah, to help them to get well so they could come back to us. We thank you for giving us your son on that horrible sacrifice that we know that he gave willingly for us so that we could have the promise of eternal life. In your son's name we pray. Amen.